It's October the 23rd, 1520. 2 weeks have passed since the Pope's envoy handed Martin Luther an official document from the Pope. It was called a papal bull because of its round lead seal known as a bulla. It called on Luther to renounce his teaching or face the direst of consequences. The man who handed Luther the bull was not unknown to him. His name is Johann Eck, and he is the foremost Roman Catholic scholar in all Germany. Luther sits in his chamber composing his reply, and he is not in the mood to back down.
I have heard that a bull against me has gone through the whole earth before it came to me, because being a daughter of darkness, it feared the light of my face. For this reason, and also because it condemns manifestly the Christian articles, I had my doubts whether it really came from Rome, and was not rather the progeny of that man of lies, dissimulation, errors, and heresy, that monster, Johann Eck. The suspicion was further increased when it was said that Eck was the apostle of the bull. Indeed, the style and the spittle all point to Eck. Where Eck is the apostle, there one should find the kingdom of Antichrist.
At one point, Eck was on good terms with Luther, but he considered Luther's 95 Theses, his attack on the practice of selling indulgences, to be heretical. And in 1519, only a year previously, he'd engaged Luther in a series of fiery debates in the German town of Leipzig. How would an obscure and rather boorish monk from Saxony stand up against the theological sophistication of Johann Eck?
The head of the church militant is Christ himself, and not a man.
Physically, they couldn't be more different. 35-year-old Luther is lean, almost emaciated in his appearance. If you stare hard enough, you might be able to count all his bones as he stands there. But his voice is penetrating.
His kingdom is a kingdom of faith. We cannot see our head, yet we have one.
It is from Rome, according to St. Cyprian.
Eck, on the other hand, is heavy-set with a large chest. His voice is rough. If you passed him in the street, you might think him a butcher rather than a theologian. Eck wanted to debate in Latin, but Luther insisted on speaking in German.
I am being misunderstood by the people.
Again and again, Luther appealed to the authority of the Bible. Eyewitnesses of what happened at the public debate said that Luther had the scriptures at his fingertips. He also had church history at his fingertips. Luther argued that popes and councils had often made mistakes and had quite patently disagreed with each other. He maintained that only scripture could be trusted to be without error. And when Johann Eck heard that, he was jubilant.
For the sake of scripture, we should reject popes and councils.
The Bible alone? This is the Bohemian virus.
Because of Luther's relentless appeal to the supreme authority of the Bible, Eck had accused him of being a Hussite, a follower of Jan Hus. Like Luther, Hus had argued 100 years previously that scripture alone was the highest authority. He too had argued against the selling of indulgences. Hus had been called to an imperial trial in Constance and accused of heresy.
Heretic! Hussite!
Luther blustered a denial.
Hussite? I repulse the charge. I have never approved of their schism. Even though they had divine right on their side, they ought not to have withdrawn from the church, because the highest divine right is unity and charity.
But then, during a lull in the debate, Luther read the Acts of the Council of Constance, which summarized the church's condemnation of Jan Hus. As he read, Luther began to realize that by rejecting the exclusive authority of the Roman Church and emphasizing the supreme authority of Scripture, Huss was merely following ideas that could be traced all the way back to Augustine in the 5th century, and even further back to Scripture itself. Luther was thunderstruck. He returned to the debate, retracted his denial, and publicly announced that he fully agreed with Huss.
I do not care whether this comes from Wycliffe or from Huss. No believing Christian can be coerced beyond Holy Writ. By divine law, we are forbidden to believe anything which is not established by divine scripture.
Eck was delighted. Huss was Czechoslovakian, and the Czechs had been the bitter enemies of Luther's fellow Saxons for 100 years. Now, sitting in his room a year later, Luther thinks back over the debate as he crafts his reply to the Pope's condemnation. Maybe there's still a way to avoid a head-on conflict. Perhaps he can offer the Pope a gracious way of backing down. He thinks he can. Luther suggests that someone else might be responsible for the contents of the papal bull, the man who delivered it to him, Johann Eck.
I will act as if I thought Pope Leo not responsible.
And then, never a man to mince words, Luther levels his canons at the author of the bull, whoever he may be.
Whoever wrote this bull, he is Antichrist. I protest before God, our Lord Jesus, his sacred angels, and the whole world, that with my whole heart I dissent from the damnation of this bull, that I curse and execrate it as sacrilege and blasphemy of Christ, God's Son and our Lord. This be my recantation, O bull, thou daughter of bulls.
And then, just as he did the previous year during the debate in Leipzig, Luther again appeals to the Bible's authority.
This bull condemns me from its own word without any proof from Scripture, whereas I back up all my assertions from the Bible. I ask thee, ignorant Antichrist, do you think that with your naked words you can prevail against the armor of Scripture? You impious and insensate papists! Whether this bull is by Eck or by the Pope, it is the sum of all impiety, blasphemy, ignorance, impudence, hypocrisy, lying. In a word, it is Satan and his Antichrist. Let them show where I am a heretic, or dry up their spittle. The wrath of God is coming upon the papists, the enemies of the cross of Christ. I call upon you to renounce your diabolical blasphemy and audacious impiety. And if you will not, we shall all hold your seat as possessed and oppressed by Satan, the damned seat of Antichrist. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom you persecute, if anyone despises my warning, I am free from his blood in the last judgment. It is better that I should die 1,000 times than that I should retract one syllable of the condemned articles. As they excommunicate me for the sacrilege of heresy, so I excommunicate them in the name of the sacred truth of God. Christ will judge whose excommunication will stand.
If Luther is determined to follow in the footsteps of Jan Hus, he could not have done more to ensure it. 100 years previously, having been condemned by the Pope as a heretic and called to trial, Huss had been promised safe conduct. But that promise had been broken. Huss was condemned as a heretic and burned at the stake. Luther has 47 days to recant. Barry Cooper here. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, do let your friends know. We really appreciate it. You may already have realized episodes of Luther in Real Time are released on irregular days of the week, depending on when things actually happened 500 years ago. We think that's a feature rather than a bug, but it's a good idea to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And we wouldn't want you to miss the next one.
Any truly repentant Christian has a right to full remission of penalty and guilt, even without indulgence letters. Those who believe that they can be certain of their salvation because they have indulgence letters will be eternally damned.
Luther in Real Time is a podcast from Ligonier Ministries. Visit lutherinrealtime.com for more information. The role of Martin Luther is played by Rupert Wickham. The series is written by Douglas Bond. Audio production and sound design is by Rob Jorgensen. Our music has been composed by John Campbell. And my name is Barry Cooper. Join us again, 500 years ago, for the next episode of Luther in Real Time.